Welcome to Authors on Tour Live, a weekly podcast for people who love to hear about books from the authors themselves. Presented by Belco Credit Union. Visit www.belco.org/authors.asp to learn more about how Belco can help you. My name is Darren Fode, and this Best of Authors on Tour podcast was recorded live at the Tattered Cover Bookstore, one of the premier independent bookstores in the nation, with three locations in the Metro Denver area. You can visit www.authorsontourlive.com for a complete list of upcoming podcasts. Wait a minute. It's time to begin.
He was born a prince into, obviously, a royal family. And when he was born, the astrologers predicted that either he would rule the world, he would become a great emperor, or he would leave everything and become a monk. And so his father was a little distressed. Obviously, he had great ambitions for his son. He named him Siddhartha. Siddhartha means one whose wishes come true, one whose every wish is granted. And so when there was a prediction that the Siddhartha might actually become a monk, that distressed the king. And he asked the court priests, he said, how can I prevent him from being a monk? And they said, surround him with pleasure. Give him everything that the material world has to offer. Affluence, abundance, every sensual, sexual experience the person can possibly have. Delight his senses and prevent him from seeing suffering. So the king actually turned out all the people who were old, who were invalid, who were crippled, and he created a city for them outside the ramparts of the palace walls. In the palace, the young boy was just surrounded by sheer materialistic expressions of ecstatic pleasure. There were three boys who were growing up together. Siddhartha the prince, a cousin of his name was Devadatta, who actually had a great dislike for Siddhartha, because Siddhartha was gentle, even though he was very proficient in the martial arts, in archery, in astronomy, in mathematics. He was extremely good in wrestling, the things that princes were taught. But he had a gentle, compassionate side to him as well. And Devadatta was very jealous of him and also had ambitions for the throne. And the third boy that was growing up with them together was a son of the man who looked after the horses in the stable. And he was what is called a half-caste. He was, they didn't know, you know, his family origins, and he wasn't part of the princely class. And so they discouraged him from playing with the other two, but since they didn't have too many playmates, the three actually did start to get together, and Channa, the stable boy, became Siddhartha's best friend. And they would play games, and they would go and practice archery and wrestling and fencing and all of that. And Devadatta too. When he was a teenager, then according to one of the versions, and as I said, I heard so many stories when I was growing up, but according to one of the versions, his father created a pleasure palace for him to initiate him into the sexual experience. And there was a young girl there, about 12, 13, he was 16 maybe. And so young Siddhartha had a crush on her. And in a fit of rage, Devadatta, who was very jealous, one night he murdered and raped this young girl and threw her into a river. And when she disappeared, Siddhartha didn't know what had happened. One of the people at the pleasure palace said, well, you know, you gave her an emerald. She's probably run away with the emerald and she's going to sell it. Which, of course, also made him extremely distressed and unhappy, and he had feelings for this woman. So he asked Chana, his best friend, let's go outside the palace walls and see if we can find her. And so these two teenagers, they went out, and for the first time, Siddhartha saw what real life was all about. He saw people who were very poor. He saw people who were extremely old, people who were crippled. And finally, he saw some corpses that were being prepared for a cremation. And he asked Chana, he said, does everyone get old? And Chana said, yes. He says, does everyone get sick? And Chana said, yes. At some point, they do. And then he said, does everyone die? And Chana said, yes. He said, will I die? And Chana said, of course. And that started his existential conundrums and his confusion and his anguish, and became the seed of his spiritual journey. The first part of the book deals with all of that, deals with his childhood, the dynamics between him and his cousin, the dynamics between him and the stable boy, the boy from the stables, the dynamics among the three of them, and the relationship between Chana and his father, which is also a dysfunctional relationship because father had great ambitions for his son and the son seemed not so interested. So it's all in the form of a story, but as you see, it's a story that is almost everyone's story. There's no one in their life who doesn't have these questions at some point. Why do we suffer? What is the meaning of our existence? What happens to us after we die? Do we have a soul? Does God exist? And if she does she care about us? So we all have these questions. And we all also, despite sometimes getting everything that we want, there's still a deep sense of desperation and anxiety. It's everyone's story, Siddhartha's story. But the second part is not everyone's story. Siddhartha decided one day to leave, and in fact to become a monk. And so he convinced his best friend Chana to take him outside, leave him in the forest. And I won't go into the details because you'll see, but through a series of accidents, people come to believe that Siddhartha has died, that he's been killed. And you'll see when you read the book. And in a sense, that's metaphorical too, because the prince dies and the monk is born. And his name is now Gautama, which was a common name, but also a name at that time that was common amongst monks. And now Siddhartha, who's now Gautama, has started to go on his spiritual journey. And he does all the things that people do who are seekers. Gautama is not interested in theology. He's not interested in finding the so-called truth through belief or faith. He is more interested in finding the truth through his own experience. And that struck a chord with me also, that part of the story, because I've always believed that belief is a cover-up for insecurity. We only believe in things we are not quite sure of. Okay. So I don't have to have you believe in electricity. You can see the light bulb and you know how it works. I don't have to have you believe in gravity or any of the forces of nature. We experience them. We can study them. We can actually create new technologies as a result of our understanding of the forces of nature. And if consciousness is real, if spirit is real, if divinity is real, then we shouldn't have to rely on belief, but on understanding and insight and experience. And that was Gautama's search. So he goes out and he becomes a chela, which means a disciple of many gurus. And he tries one guru after another. Some gurus who teach him yoga and meditation, other gurus who teach him breathing practices, other gurus who teach him asceticism, everything. And nothing works. And finally he starts to decide that he's going to practice the path of extreme asceticism, penance. And he's starving himself almost to the brink of death. And he's lying on the forest floor. And a young girl spots him and she tries to feed him. And he says, no. And then he asks her, he whispers and he asks her, what's your name? And the girl says, Sujata, which was the name of the girl he was in love with when he was a teenager. And he starts to weep for many reasons. One, the memory of his love. But two, he realizes that no matter what he did, he couldn't suppress his desire. And that's a big insight. Okay, because spiritual traditions say, give up desire. Well, have you ever tried to give up a desire? The more you give it up, the stronger it gets. In fact, if you suppress your desire and force that suppression, one day that'll express itself as a shadow energy in a pathological form. And he has that insight. And he surrenders. What he surrenders to in that moment is to the unknown. And he realizes that we live and breathe and experience life in the unknown all the time. We think it's the known, but the known is the past. It's already happened. Everything that we know has already happened. It's the past. We live and move and breathe into the unknown, pretending it's the known. And that little insight immediately grounds him in life-centered present moment awareness. And so through his own experience, he comes to describe the Four Noble Truths. First, that there is suffering in the world. Second, there are reasons for that suffering, which can be identified. Third, there's a way out. And fourth, this is the prescription. He's the original doctor. He identifies the disease, the symptoms, and offers the solution. The Eightfold Noble Path, which is, in his words, right thinking, right perception, or what he calls right view, right concentration, right living, right effort, right action, and most importantly, mindfulness. Mindfulness of what is. Mindfulness of what is happening.
That's all for this Best of Authors on Tour podcast. I'm Darren Fode, and this podcast was recorded live at the Tattered Cover Bookstore in Denver, Colorado. Authors on Tour Live has been presented by Belco Credit Union. Belco has been serving members' financial needs since 1936.
visit www.belco.org/authors.asp to learn more about how Belco can help you. Stay pod tuned in the coming weeks for many more authors as we podcast Authors on Tour.